Okay, official subject is the end of the world. People have been expecting the end of the world for a long time, haven't they? How long has people been expecting it? Yeah, how about in the days of Jesus, were they expecting it?
I think that's where it started, wasn't it? Did people believe the end of the world before that?
You know, I'll bet they did, but we just haven't looked into it that much. But I'll bet you when they had those ferocious wars clear back at the time of Alexander the Great and beyond that, they were probably thinking the end of the world was going to happen. You know, they had some tremendous cataclysmic earth changes, too, and thousands of years even before Christ, where I bet you people thought the world was ending. There's been tremendous volcanoes burst, which filled the good portion of the earth with dust and ash, and cooled the earth to the amount that there was famine and everything. And I bet there were a lot of times, even before Christ, where people thought the end was near. But it was really preached a lot in the days of Jesus. Why do you think it was popular back then to teach that the world was going to end? Yeah.
Noah happened before Jesus, and that was...
Well, yeah, it was the end of their world.
That it was supposed to be, God promised to destroy the earth by water, and they whatever they decide. Some churches say it was Noah's, the,
yeah.
Some don't. And the next promise is by fire.
Mm-hmm.
For the two, I don't know if there's one.
Yeah. People, the Bible does talk about fire at the end of the world and so on. But in the days of Jesus, the end of the world was particularly important to everybody because the Jews were under the captivity of the Romans. They wanted their Messiah to come and destroy all the Romans and install the kingdom of God with the Jewish people as the head. And so this kind of carried over into Christian theology, the aspect that things were so bad, and this is what creates the end of the world philosophy, is things just being bad for certain people. Now, the Romans didn't want it to ever to be the end of the world, and they were never teaching the end of the world for them because, you know, the Roman Empire thought they had it pretty good, and they did have it pretty good, so they were just happy to have the world continue as it was. But the early Jews and then later the Christians who were persecuted, they thought, boy, God's just got to come and wipe out everybody and make an end of the world and the beginning of a new world. And so the end of the world philosophy was very important to them because they thought the end of the world just meant the end for everybody but them. And then they were going to have like a glorious millennium with living in a Garden of Eden type conditions for all eternity or whatever. People had all kinds of ideas about it. So is the end of the world carried over to our day? Yeah, it has, hasn't it? How many people believe like there's going to be a tremendous cataclysm that's going to destroy almost everything except for a handful of survivors? And have you ever noticed that when there's going to be a handful of survivors, the guy talking to you thinks he's going to be one of them? Now, why is the guy talking to you, talking about the end of the world? Why does he think he's going to be one of the survivors? Is he a special being? Probably for a Christian, it's because he believes in the right religion. For a New Ager, it's because he thinks his vibrations are high. So... probably not a big difference in that mindset as far as feeling special that they're going to be selected. Well, there's a handful of others think aliens are going to come pick them up and take them into outer space. Going to have a big fire down here upon the earth and aliens are going to come back down and use them to populate the earth again. And there's all kinds of different ideas. But there's one thing to be concerned about the end of the world philosophy, is there's a principle. And the principle is this, it's an ancient principle that's been around for thousands of years. And these are the words, energy follows thought. Have you heard that before?
Could you repeat that? Energy what?
Energy follows thought. Energy follows thought. I learned this when I was in real estate. One time, within a period of a month, I sold like three or four mobile home parks. I think it was three or four, I can't remember. And I was going to make a ton of money, and I thought, I'm going to make enough money from these that I'm going to be able to relax for a year, and I'm going to take a year off and just write a book. Now, I made a mistake in the fact that I started to take the year off before the three mobile home parks closed, because I figured, you know, it's possible, remotely possible, that one of them might fall through, but all three of them won't fall through. So I started writing the book before the sales closed, and I took my energy off of the closing of those three mobile home parks. Anybody have any idea what happened? All three of them fell apart. All three of them. And I thought, man, this is really weird. All three of them. I had to go back and almost start from scratch. By the time I went back after like taking about 6 weeks, it didn't take very long. I took 6 weeks off real estate. It was like I was a new agent again. I mean, I lost all my clients, everything. I'm taking my thought off of my business, made just everything just completely fall apart. I lost all my sales. But I noticed, I reflected back, you know, the times when I had a sale and I put my attention on closing it, it seemed to always work out and it closed. And since that time, I've been paying attention to that. And I've noticed, if you put your thought on something, you have a follow-through with it that makes it just adds like a magical power that makes everything come together. And it's amazing how that happens. And I've did this with my business I have now. I put a lot of thought into it when I started it, but this time I got it like in orbit. Now, it takes a tremendous amount of power to get a rocket into outer space. Thousands of pounds of thrust. But then when a rocket has enough power behind it, enough speed, 18,000 miles per hour, then it can orbit the Earth. The satellite can orbit the Earth with no additional energy. Now, business is a little bit like that, for instance, or any enterprise that you do. It takes a lot of energy, and then when you put it in orbit, you can start to relax a little bit. So this is what I did with my business, put a lot of energy into it, got it in orbit, and then I started writing again. But the interesting part about our business is, since 1998, when I started writing, our income from the business has stayed almost exactly the same every year. It was growing and growing, and then it's staying the same. It's amazing. Because I'm not putting additional energy into my business. It's just in orbit. We have old clients coming back, handful of new ones coming up, but I'm not putting energy into expanding it. And it's just not expanding naturally. It's just staying still. I might be a millionaire by now if I didn't start writing the books. but it's enough to pay our bills. And that's about where we are, and about by break even on the book right now. So we're just kind of going around in orbit. So it's interesting how energy does follow thought. There's an interesting name for the planetary logos, called Sennacherib, the Ancient of Days, in various writings. Do you know what one of his names is? He's called the Watcher. Now, that's an interesting name for the highest being on our planet, the Watcher. And those associated with him are also called Watchers. Well, what are they watching? What's the purpose of them watching? The purpose is that energy follows thought, and the higher entities and the masters know this. And that's why they don't have to spend a lot of time running around doing a lot of things that we have to run around do, because they understand the power of focusing thought to cause a follow-through of that energy and materializing what is desired. And so there are very high masters on our planet that the main thing they do is watch, focus their thought, and then watch their thought materialize among us. For instance, some of the masters may come up with an idea that they want to be materialized among humanity, and they will create a thought form out of using the mere power of their thought. A sensitive person may pick up on that thought form and come up, decide, I want to materialize that idea upon this earth. Now, if the master takes his attention off the thought form, then the thought form falls apart, and the disciple down here on the earth will lose his motivation. But as long as that thought form is there, sending energy to various sensitives here upon the planet, they will pick up different types of inspiration and feel motivated to follow through and to make certain purposes materialize here upon the earth.